الله بارك الله فيكم
وفيكم بارك الله
شكرا you are ready now do you need some time
لا I'm ready الحمد لله
طيب we just need one second to things up
take your time take your time and just let me know Say go ahead, inshallah.
طيب. الحمد لله. والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. وبعد. We would firstly like to thank everyone for gathering with us today upon bir wa taqwa and to attaining knowledge so that we can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better. As our beloved Sheikh is with us, Sheikh Muhammad al-Maliki for the 7th session here at Masjid Ansar al-Sunnah in Paterson, New Jersey, going over the book, The Important Lessons for Every Muslim. Without any further ado, bismillah ta'ala, we turn the mic over to our beloved Sheikh, the Fadl, ya Sheikh.
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sunnati wa ahtada bi huda ila yawm al-deen amma ba'd. حياكم الله dear brothers and sisters in Masjid Ansar al-Sunnah in New Jersey in the United States of America and elsewhere of those who are following us through the internet and whoever going to listen to this talk later on the recordings I say to all Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And just before we start our begin our lesson of today, which is still with the tafsir of those surahs that Sheikh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz rahimahullah ta'ala recommended for Muslims to understand and know how to recite. I say before we begin that, I just want to correct something I just heard from Brother Hamza, and it is a common mistake to the non-Arabs generally and the Western especially, but the Muslims should correct it. And it is the way to pronounce the name of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is written and pronounced in many occasions like this, which is M-O-H-A-M-M-E-D and pronounced Muhammad, and that is in fact is a mistake. It should be M-O-A-M-O-H A-M-M-A-D Muhammad. Difference between both is that the first pronunciation Muhammad, this is someone who is praising someone or something, but Muhammad is the one who has been praised, the one who Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to pronounce Muhammad. Now, it's only a correction that for this mistake that many people in the West fall into. Today's surah that we are going to go through is Surah to At-Takathur, according to the order of the Quran and according to the order of the book of Sheikh Ibn Baz who took it in the same order of the Quran. Allah Ta'ala says in this surah, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم ثم لترونها عين اليقين إن يومئذ عن النعيم. This surah, إخوان, is a surah Makkiya, and we already explained in some previous classes what is the meaning of Surah Makkiya. Surah Makkiya ascended before the Hijrah of Rasulullah to Medina. And Surah Makkiya as well generally handles the issues of the Akhirah. Issues of the Akhirah. And the Surah Makkiya mainly speaks about Tawheed and refutes the Shirk. And this does not mean that the Surah Madaniya does not do these things, but it is known that the Surah Makkiya is mainly to treat the issues of Aqeedah and more specifically the issues of resurrection are reckoning, because the Kuffar at the Jahiliyyah time before Islam in Mecca, they did not used to believe in the resurrection. As Allah Ta'ala said, زعم الذين كفروا أن لن يبعثوا قل بلى وربي لتبعثن ثم لتنبؤن بما عملتم. The people who disbelieved claimed that they are not going to be resurrected. Nay, but you are, by Allah, you are going to be resurrected. And then you are going to be informed of all what you used to do. And this surah, Allah Ta'ala says, Alhaakum al-takathur. Alhaakum al-takathur. The mutual rivalry for pulling off diverts you, meaning from the serious things that you were created for. The wealth and children, the health that Allah Ta'ala provided you, made you to forget the day of resurrection, made you to forget the purpose that you are created for, which Allah Ta'ala already clarified to you and many different ayat of the Quran and on the tongue of the Prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As what Allah Ta'ala said, as in Surah Al-Dhariyat, Ayah 56, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَاءَ وَيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُ الزَّكَاةَ وَذَلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيِّمُ. They were commanded not but to worship Allah sincerely and alone. And they performed the salah and gave out the obligatory charity. And that is the religion of, or that is the straight religion. So the purpose of creation is to worship Allah. Now this worldly life diverted the people from focusing on what they are created for to something else. From preparing for the Akhirah to preparing for this worldly life. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أمرت أن أقاتل الناس حتى يشهدوا أو حتى يقولوا لا إله إلا الله. I was commanded to fight people until they testify that there is no one worthy of worship but Allah. And this means to worship Allah, not just to say. So the purpose of creation is to worship Allah. As Allah Ta'ala said, I made a mistake, the ayah I recited earlier wasn't of Surah Al-Dariyat, it was ayah 5 of Surah Al-Bayyinah. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. But as in the ayah 56 of Surah Al-Dariyat, where Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That is the ayah that clarifies the purpose of creation. I created them not but to worship Allah. And Ibn Kathir said, and it's tafsir, alone. And the proof for that is the ayah I recited earlier, which I referred to Surah Al-Dariyat, but I corrected it to say, it is ayah 5 of Surah Al-Bayyinah, where Allah Ta'ala said, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. They were created not but to worship Allah sincerely in performing the religion. But the shayateen, the devils, whispered to mankind and diverted them from what they were created for to what been created for them. Look at that. They were created only to worship Allah, or only for worshiping Allah. And Allah created everything on this worldly life, on this earth, to make mankind worship Allah alone. But what happened? Mankind took these things that Allah created for him to worship, in order to worship Allah alone. Mankind took these things as the main thing that he was created for. So instead of taking it as something been created for him, He turned it the other way as he was created for it. And that is a problem. And our understanding to this worldly life. This worldly life, dear brothers and sisters, is created for us so that we worship Allah, not to stay by it and take care of it and give it all of our time and love and care. As Allah Ta'ala said, as in Surah Ghafir, Ayah 39, where Allah Ta'ala told us that one of the prophets said to his people, or all the prophets said it so, يَا قَوْمِ إِنَّمَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا مَتَاعٌ. O my people, indeed this worldly life is only a matter of joy. وَإِنَّ الْآخِرَةَ هِيَ دَارُ الْقَرَارِ. And indeed, the hereafter is the permanent life. صلى الله عليه وسلم said to عمر ابن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه من السنن ما لي وللدنيا. What makes me to turn my face to the dunya? ما أنا في الدنيا إلا كراكب استظل تحت شجرة ثم قام وتركها. Verily, me in this worldly life is exactly like a traveler who is needed in his way, on his way to have some rest. So he went to a shade of a tree and had a nap and then and left it behind. Meaning he continued his journey to his destination. And so we need to continue our journey to reach our destination, which is the Akhirah. As it was said that Isa alayhi salam, Prophet Isa alayhi salam, said to his companions one day, "Ad-dunya qantara." This worldly life is exactly like a bridge which is built over something that people afraid to fall into. And then he said, "U'buruha wa la ta'muruha." Cross it, but don't build it. Meaning, don't stay by it. Don't stay by it, but just cross it. And it is like a bridge, any bridge. Now you drive your car and you come by a bridge. What are you going to do? You're going to drive over it and leave it. But you're not going to stay by it. And then he gave another example saying, who is he, that person who builds up his house over a sea wave? Over a sea wave. If the sea wave would be strong enough to hold the house built over it, yet it is not good to build a house over a sea wave, because sea wave is not going to remain as is. What if the sea wave is only water that you can't build a house over it? And then he said, that is the reality. That is the dunya. Sea wave, only a sea wave, only a bridge, only a shade of a tree that you stay in to have some rest on your way of journey and then leave it. And then he said, that is the dunya, so do not take it as a place of stay. Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala said, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ عِبَادًا فُطَنًا طَلَّقُوا الدُّنْيَا وَخَافُوا الْفِتَنَا. Verily, or indeed there are slaves of Allah who are very intelligent and clever. They divorce this worldly life. Yani they consider this worldly life like a wife. Who is not good wife. They consider it to be a bad wife. What you are going to do with a bad wife that always causes you troubles, disturbs you, annoys you, bothers you. There's all things that makes you to take the decision to divorce her. So the dunya is like that. Divorce it. Divorce it. So those clever slaves of Allah divorce the dunya. And when you divorce a woman, there's no meeting between you both. Finish. And that is the meaning of it. No meeting between the believer and dunya. Dunya is like a stranger woman to him. Wherever he sees her, he turns his face and says, Subhanallah, and leaves. That is how we should deal with this dunya. And the reason for that is, as Imam Shafi'i said, وَخَافُ الْفِتَنَةَ. It is because that the believers fear the fitan, the trials, which are found in this dunya, not to drag you into it. And then he said, نَظَرُوا فِيهَا, they looked into it, meaning the dunya, فَلَمَّا عَلِمُوا, and when they come to know that he is a Canada, it is not a place of stay for any living existence. اتخذوها لجتا. So they consider it a massive ocean or sea with massive waves. واتخذوا صالح الأعمال فيها سفنا. And they consider their good deeds to be the boats or arks or ships to sail safely on these seas to reach your destination. And that is how Rasulullah ﷺ advised Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. For he, Abdullah ibn Umar, said that one day the Messenger of Allah ﷺ dropped me from my shoulder and said, كُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَّكَ غَرِيبٌ أَوْ عَابِرٌ سَبِيلٌ. Be in this worldly life like a stranger who came to a town just to look for someone or to buy something, stranger does not want to waste his time and social relations. He just tries to save as much time as he can in order to go back to his homeland. أو عابر سبيل, or wayfarer. Same thing. He's not going to stay by any station on the way to his destination. But he will get what he needs from it and leave. Then Allah Ta'ala said, Alhaakum al-takatur. So, until when this motor rivalry of for filling up diverted you, until when diverts you of the right path, of the serious things, until when he, Allah Ta'ala said, حَتَّى until you visit graves. Now this is it. Look to what the ulama say about these two ayat. Imam Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala said in his tafsir, Allah ta'ala blames and strikes the believers or the slaves who get busy and involved deeply with this worldly life, using the time that should be used for what is he created for, which is to worship Allah alone and to know Allah and to know the religion, which needs from you time to go and seek it and to repent to him and to put his love before anything and everything. And then he, Allah Ta'ala, said, At-takatur. Ibn Kathir said, he did not say, he, Allah Ta'ala, did not tell us the filling up of what? Of what? To be general. General. Whatsoever people like to have and massive amounts, whether wealth, lands, buildings, animals, children, soldiers, servants, whatsoever. Things that people compete for and challenge each other for and yani, try to be better than others with, which as we know, wealth, positions, children. Authority. These four things. But they don't give much care to what they are created for. To the limit that if you ask one of them of any principle of the religion that he created to implement and to understand and implement and fulfill you. But if you ask him of any other things, he might be so proficient in it. And so, this type of divert continues. And this attentiveness continues. And this negligence continues. Up until you visit the grave. Visit the grave does not mean the normal visit that you go and you recite salam to the buried people there, Muslims. No, but it is the visit that you are forced to, not willingly. And it's the visit you are in, not walking. And it is the visit that you are shrouded, not wearing clothes. You are robbed of the shrouding clothes, but you are not wearing the clothes. It is the visit that you are not seeing and talking, seeing the grave talking, but you having no sense to that. It is the visit that you are going to be buried in those graves, not standing by. As Abu al-Atahiya or other ones say, وَلَدَتْكَ أُمُّكَ يَبْنَ آدَمَ بَاكِيَا وَالنَّاسُ حَوْلَكَ يَضْحَكُونَ سُرُورًا فَاعْمَلْ لِنَفْسِكَ إِنْ بَكَوْا فِي يَوْمِ مَوْتِكَ أَنْ تَكُونَ ضَاحِكًا مَسْرُورًا. Oh son of Adam, your mother gave birth to you while you were crying, coming to this wide world. While people surrounding you were happy, laughing for your arrival. So work now to make yourself happy when they cry and be sad when you leave this world by death. That is what you are created for, to get ready for that moment. You are here not to build up buildings and run business and ride good cars and have more children. But you are here mainly to serve your Lord. And all these things that we mentioned are created only to serve you and make you free to worship the Lord. But look to most of the people today. Even most of the Muslims today turned it the other way. They made the methods of happiness to be even like, or to be their main hopes, goals, aims, which is of course the thing that Allah Ta'ala mentioned in this ayat. حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرِ. And look to that. Allah Ta'ala called you a visitor to those graves, although you're going to be buried there, because again, as this world alive, when you were alive on it, walking, coming, going, it wasn't a place for you to stay, and you couldn't make yourself permanently stay, then you got to know that even when you are weak, not weak, when you have no any ability at all in the grave, it is still a temporary life. It's not going to be your life. It's not going to be your life. But it is temporary, it is isthmus. And then Allah Ta'ala said, كلا سوف تعلمون كلا سوف تعلمون, but nay, you soon shall know. Know what? Know the reality of these things. Once you die, you finish. Not after you die, but even in the process of dying, while you are dying, as what Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, Allah Ta'ala said there, فَلَوْلَا إِن كُنْتُمْ غَيْرَ مَدِينِينَ فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومَ وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَئِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَالْمُصِرُونَ. Then why do you not intervene when the soul of a dying person reaches the throat, and you at that moment are looking on? وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ. But we, meaning the angels of Allah, who come to take the soul, are nearer to him than you, but you see not. But you see not. Now at those moments, he or she, the person who is dying, will see the angels, but those surrounding him can't see nothing. He will come to know the reality of all what he was told and warned against and commanded to, but he neglected what he was commanded to and committed what was forbidden for him. Now he's going to see it in reality. And then Allah Ta'ala confirmed that. By saying, ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ. Again, nay, you soon shall know. You would beware. But that you were told about the fire. لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ. So you'll see the reality. You will see you shall certainly see the hellfire. Hellfire. And you shall see it with certain of sight. You shall see it with certain of sight. And that means you will see it with your eyes, which are on your head. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala said, this is a warning and a threat from Allah ta'ala for them to be aware. And it means that you will see the fire and all what has been explained to you and taught to you. And then Allah Ta'ala says, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. Imam Sa'di said in his tafsir, or before that, the translation of the interpretation of this, then shall you be question that day about the joy you indulge in. And as Imam Sa'di said, rahimahullah ta'ala, which you indulge in this world, worldly life before you die, were you to be grateful to your Lord who bestowed it on you? Were you to do the right of it that Allah Ta'ala made obligatory on you? Were you not use it on the disobedience of Allah? So that Allah Ta'ala on the day of resurrection will provide you more pleasure and joy in the Jannah. But if not, that you took this type of blessings from your Lord to disobey Allah. So you are going to be asked about this joy. Imam Ibn Kathir said in his tafsir, ابن أبي حاتم سيد حدثنا أبو زرعة informed us. حدثنا زكريا بن يحيى الجزار المقرئ. Informed us. حدثنا عبد الله بن عيسى أبو خالد بن الجزار. عبد الله بن عيسى أبو خالد بن الجزار informed us. حدثنا يونس بن عكرمة عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما. يونس بن عكرمة informed us from ابن عباس, may Allah be pleased with them both, أنه سمع عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه يقول, that he ابن عباس, he عمر بن الخطاب, may Allah be pleased with him, saying, خرج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عند الظهيرة. One day Rasulullah ﷺ came out of his house in the afternoon after Dhuhr. فوجد أبا بكر في المسجد, and he met Abu Bakr Siddiq in the masjid. فقال ما أخرجك هذه الساعة. He said to him, he asked him, what make you to come out of your house at this time, at this hour? Because it was the the time in which they used to have their قيلولة. Abu Bakr Siddiq, they responded saying, what made me, the reason I came out of my house at this time, Ya Rasulullah, is exactly the same reason that you came out of your house, O Messenger of Allah. Then Umar ibn Khattab came, as he said. And he said, the Prophet said to him, مَا أَخْرَجَكَ ابْنُ الْخَطَّابِ What make you to come out of your house, O son of al-Khattab? He, Umar, said, responding to the Prophet's question, what make me to come out of my house this time is exactly what made you to come out of your houses at this time. Then Rasulullah ﷺ informed them, and then he recited this ayah. He informed them about, he informed them about the reason why he came out of his house, which is hunger. Rasulullah didn't have enough food to eat, because he didn't used to look to this worldly life, to dunya. Whatever money he finds, he just distributed for the sake of Allah. And then he asked them, are you strong enough to walk to this farm of palm trees, and there you find food and drink and shade? They said, yay, O Rasulullah, let's go. And then he said, then let's go to the house of Ibn Tayyan, Abu al-Haytham al-Ansari. Take us to the house of Ibn Tayyan, Abu al-Haytham al-Ansari, one of the Ansar. He said that Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the first. To the end of this story, where Abu al-Haytham Ibn Tayyan served them food, drink and fruit, dates. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then said to Abu Bakr and Umar, you eat from these dates, and he said to them, by Allah, this is what you are going to be asked about. And he recited this ayah of Surah Al-Takathur, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. And this hadith was reported in Sahih Muslim, but in other wording other than what Abu Hatim have reported. But all it is, yani, the meaning is the same. Meaning of it is the same. So we need to get the reminder of this surah and the surahs, the lie that everything we have today we are going to be asked. And that's why in the hadith the Prophet ﷺ said that the poor Muslims will enter the Jannah before the rich ones of them. And then he explained why. He said that the rich people had money, they earned money. They are going to be questioned, how did they earn it? And they spent money, and they are going to be questioned, how did they spend it? And even when you earn it and save it, do not spend it, you are going to be questioned, why? And it is not only to have an answer, but the answer must be correct answer, which pleases Allah Ta'ala. And this cannot be found except by knowing the truth, knowing the haqq, and acting upon it. Here we end today, willing inshallah ta'ala to continue next week inshallah ta'ala with Surah Al-Asr. May Allah Ta'ala make us from those who get the advantage of this world, of this worldly life, to build up their Akhirah properly, and make us from those who get the higher ranks in the Jannah. Wallahu A'lam, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.
Inshallah, Sheikh, do you have time for any questions?
Yeah, inshallah, no problem.
Thank you, Jazakallah khair. Sheikh, from the first of those questions is concerning the hadith of the person or the people on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah who will be asked to recite the Quran.
Nah.
And while they're reciting, they'll begin to rise through Jannah.
Nah.
The question is, Surah Ikhlas is a third of the Quran. Whoever recites it, they've recited a third of the Quran. Does this mean that the person will rise up to a third part of paradise?
Nah. That's not the meaning of it. The meaning is that because of the meanings included in Surah Al-Ikhlas, which is mainly about the Tawheed Al-Uluhiyya and Tawheed Al-Asma Al-Sifat, that's why the reward equals the reward of reciting one third of the Quran. And this is because the whole Quran, every surah in the Quran, contains some ayat of ikhlas, which yani commands for sincerity. And this surah is all about sincerity. Now, that is the meaning of it. But the hadith you mentioned is where the Prophet ﷺ said that it will be said to the memorizer of the Quran, recite, verily your place in the Jannah is by the last ayah you recite. So he's going to be raised until the Quran that he memorizes finish, or the amount of Quran he memorized ends. So that is the end of it. Yani he will begin from Surah Al-Ikhlas and go up. If he finishes up to Surah Al-Fatiha, then he'll be in the highest levels of the Jannah. If he goes to Surah Al-Kahf, he'll be in the middle. and the like. That is the meaning of it. Wallahu a'lam.
Sheikh, the next question is, in the Durus, in the Dars, you mentioned about how the people are going to see the Malaika, and this is going to have an effect on where they're going to be in the hereafter. So the question is, will a person know his place in the hereafter after he enters the grave?
Not after he enters the grave, no. But before his soul leaves his body, as in the hadith, that once the person is dying, the angel of death comes by his head to grab or to collect for the believer and grab for the disbeliever the soul from the body. And at that time, just by the end of his vision, the angels of either the mercy or the punishment, based on how he was. If he was a pious person, by the end of his vision he will see the angels from the Jannah, the angels of mercy, coming with a cloth of shrouding from the Jannah, with perfume from the Jannah, with from the Jannah, and he'll get the pleasure. And even the angel of death will call his soul in a good way. But if he is somebody who's kafir, then what he will see is the angel of death by his head, and by the end of his vision will be angels of the fire. Their looking is terrible, and they have with them the cloth of shrouding from the fire and the perfume from the fire, which is bad smell. And then the angel of death will call his soul in bad way, in a very rough and bad way. So that it would be the first punishment he receives, not only after he is buried, but even before that. Wallahu a'lam.
Jazakallah khairan barakallahu feek. Now, Sheikh, the next question, it pertains to the traveler and him making the salah. And the question is there a condition as it relates to distance that allows the praying person to shorten his or combine his salah?
The ulama have different opinion on that, but the best opinion is what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah took as in his book al-Fatawa, and he discussed all the opinions and sayings of the ulama and their evidences to what they have chosen, and then he said, I think is that the Prophet ﷺ did not assign a distance. He did not assign a distance, and then he for trouble, and he brought many incidents that the Prophet ﷺ used to go place in Medina called Al-Ghaba, which is only a few kilometers away from Medina, but he used to shorten the prayers, and he used to go to like distance. So Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah said, it goes back to the urf or the custom of the people who are living in that area. If they consider this journey is a trouble, then it is a trouble. If it is short. But if they don't consider it trouble, then it is not a trouble. However, it's not based on the method. For example, some people today say, okay, we travel from the United States to Saudi Arabia, and less than a day. and 14 hours by plane. I may be listen. And in the future going to be maybe even shorter than that. And now we say, are we considering this a trouble or not? Of course it's a trouble. No one to say that this is not a trouble. Everybody calls him trouble, including the airport staff and the immigrations, people who see him in the airport in the United States, and people who may see him in the airport in Saudi Arabia, they both consider him a traveler. So this is a traveler. Now this is for long journeys, but if it is short distance, then as Sheikh Al-Islam said, it goes back to the custom of the people of that area, if they consider it travel or not. Wallahu a'lam.
JazakAllah khairan barakallahu feekum. Sheikh, the next question is it permissible to use images for the needy Muslims on the website for zakat, to help them with homelessness and the like? Is it permissible to have the pictures of those needy Muslims on the website?
Yeah, and if you are asking about the ruling of picture, it is a different thing. But if you are asking, exposing these people to the others that these are needy, this depends on the person himself. If he doesn't accept to be, to put his picture and he considers that this is a time of, disgracing or disrespect, then you should not do it. And if he finds it okay, then it's okay. Now, unless if it is a woman, we say no, it is not okay. Even if she thinks it is okay, it is not okay to put her picture on the media. But if you are asking about, is it allowed to use images? Again, this is one of the issues of fiqh, that the ulama have different opinions. And what I myself take is the opinion that says it is permissible, especially for need or essential essential thing like this. Wallahu a'lam.
Jazakallah khairan barakallahu feek. Check for those people who they're working every day and they have to take care of their families, but they also would like to attain the ulama nafi'ah, the beneficial knowledge. What advice do you have for us?
Well, if they can have some spare time to go to where the ilm is conducted or given, then that is the best advice I can give. Go there. As the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا مَرَرْتُمْ بِالْأَرْضِ Jannah, the gardens of paradise, then irta'u, meaning take as much as you can of that. And he was asked, what is Riyadul Jannah? He said the circles of dhikr, circles of knowledge, of course. But if they cannot have time to go, they are working all days and all the day during the day, then they come very exhausted. We say, at least you have the internet today. There are many live drus for many Salafi scholars and students of knowledge every day, and translated, and some of them are in direct English like that. So you join these classes and be patient with them and pay attention and write down whatever benefits you have. And like that, then you can be, inshallah, on the way of seeking knowledge. Wallahu a'lam.
JazakAllah khair and barakallahu feek. Sheikh, one other question, Bismillah. That is, we would like to have activities for our beloved sisters here at Masjid al-Sar Sunnah. And we're asking, what do you advise us to do, or where should we start as it relates to having activities for them? JazakAllah khair.
Yani, what to start with is exactly what to start with brothers. There is no difference between brothers and sisters, yani, in seeking knowledge. However, we say this thing to begin with is Tawheed and the Fiqh of Women. There is a book for Sheikh Uthaymeen about the bloods of the woman, So this type of book is to be taught, and it will inshallah benefit them. And also there are many books, yani Fiqh al-Mar'a, for Sheikh Mustafa al-Adawi has, as I remember, I think 2 or 3 or 4 volumes, a book called something like that, Fiqh al-Mar'a al-Muslima, Fiqh al-Mar'a al-Muslima, and the like. Na'am. Wallahu a'lam.
JazakAllah khair wa barakallahu feek. Sheikh, with your permission, can I ask just one more question?
Yeah, no problem, sir.
JazakAllah khair. And that is, how do you advise us as it relates to the brothers and sisters coming to classes? What is the adab of the talib al-mu'in as it relates to coming to classes?
The adab or the etiquette of talib al-ilm is coming to classes is first of all to be, yani, to seek ilm sincerely for Allah. And the other thing is to get yourself prepared. You know what is the topic today, so you read about it, you listen to some explanations or tapes or like that lectures, so you get prepared. And if you have any doubts, you write them down. If you have anything to ask about, and when you want to come, you better, yani, take a shower, dress nicely, and if it is a sister, to cover herself, doesn't wear perfume, cover her face, etc. And the brother, and he wears perfume. Now, and they both come, and come sit close in regard to the brothers, close to the speaker, to the teacher or sheikh or whatsoever, and the sisters to be behind curtains or like that, so they do not put the brothers into fitna. And also to avoid noise, be careful not to make noise in that place. You do not talk while the lecturer is talking. You do not ask your colleague if you have anything to be asked about what the lecturer said. You better ask him directly. And you sit in a good way. You do not lay down unless if you need to, if you are suffering of backache or something like that. And you do not eat or drink while the lecture is given, but you have to and you keep the place tidy and clean.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and make this tremendous deed heavy on the scale for you.
Amen.
and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on you, give you Jannah. Ameen.
Jazakumullah khair, and you too, all of you, and those who listen to us, whether on Pal Talk or later on the recordings. Wallahu a'lamu sallallahu sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.